And you wouldn't know it from the pace that I'm taking through the book of Mark, but Mark is actually a fast-paced gospel. He moves through it pretty quickly. I've referred to it as the action gospel. Today we're going to take a look at verses 29 all the way through 45. Can James do it? Yes, he can. First, we're going to notice that Simon Peter's mother-in-law receives sense that you and I would say this, but it's a time of spiritual renewal and further instructions, you might say. And then the last thing we're going to see is Jesus healing the leper. Jesus healing the leper. And I've referred to this as four action points. So if you're looking in your bulletin or if you're looking on the note taker, I've divided this up into four action points because Mark is a book of action. So with that said, let's now turn our attention to the Word of God from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 45. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Let's pray once again. Jesus, help us today to be men and women of action. Give us opportunities. Give us the correct way to pursue those opportunities. We want to be wise, Lord, with what you have given to us, but we don't want to become so careful that we don't do anything at all. So help us to find that place, Lord, of your perfect timing, your perfect will in all things. Guide us as we look at your word today. Give us strength and courage like Joshua, as we've been studying in Joshua on Thursday night. Give us faith like Caleb. Give us the confidence of Peter, the wisdom of Paul, and the action of Mark as we read it here. Help us to remember that where you guide, you provide. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at verses 29 through 31, our first action point is be healed and serve with compassion. Be healed and serve with compassion. We find here healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Following the events at the synagogue, remember, to make the connection, last week Jesus was preaching in the synagogue and he cast out the demon that was there, the demon-possessed man, remember, he set him free, and now he has come to Simon Peter's house, and the word is immediately, Jesus immediately accompanies Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. Now, don't overlook this fact, the Bible clearly says Simon had a wife, and therefore he has a mother-in-law. Why am I bringing that up? Because there is a teaching, and it comes from, and I'm going to just say this, the apostate Roman Catholic Church that tells you that Christian leaders are to remain single and celibate. They would say that someone in my position shouldn't be married. They wouldn't even call me a pastor. So, something to think about. The Bible is very clear about it, that Peter there has a wife and mother-in-law. He was married. Just something for you to think about. The brothers James and John were also there. Here again we see Mark's style of action and immediacy. He says things like, I'm going to try this. I'm glad my Greek professor isn't here, but I think the way you pronounce the word is Iotheos. Iotheos. Or Euthaos. Euthaos. Meaning immediately, or straight away, or at once. So you're going to see this over and over again in Mark. At once, immediately, as soon as. Phrases like that. In fact, Mark uses that more than all the other gospel writers combined to include the book of Acts, which was written by Luke. And so we see Mark, the shortest gospel, uses this act of immediacy, this acting as soon as possible, over and over again. In the New American Standard Bible, it says immediately. In the version that I use, which is the New King James, it says now as soon as possible. Jesus found out about the mother-in-law because they told him immediately. In Luke's account, you can find it in chapter 4, and I like to point these things out because we're talking about harmony of the Gospels. Luke records this account, and Jesus stood over the mother-in-law, much like a physician might stand over your bed if they're checking up on you, if you're laying in a hospital bed or something like that. The doctor might lean over just a little bit, and it's fitting that Luke would write it that way. Luke was a physician. You can also read of the same account in Matthew chapter 8. His version of events says that Jesus touched her and the fever went away. And like I said, it's important that you know the harmony of the Gospels, because when you put this all together, you get a composite picture of what happened. Putting it all together, you see this, Christ standing close to her bed, leaning over her slightly as a doctor might do, taking her by the hand, rebuking the fever, and then gently raising her up before Peter and the others. I want to talk to you about the personal compassion that we see in our Lord here. Mark shares with us the compassion and the tenderness displayed as Jesus took her by the hand to help lift her up. And when he did this, the fever left her. Neither Mark nor Matthew records the word spoken by Jesus, but Luke says he rebuked the fever and it left her. It left her at the word of the Master. Jesus is personal. That's what I'm getting at. He took her by the hand. He was standing there at the bedside. He has personal compassion, and it is that personal compassion that will cool the worst fever of the soul. It's interesting that the word used here for fever is the same word where we get words like pyrotechnics or pyromaniac, having to do with fire. It literally says she had a fire. That's how hot she was. And then it also seems that this healing was totally complete. There were no lingering effects because she got up and straight away, there it is again, began to diakono, which where we get the word deacon. If it sounds like deacon, it's because it means to be a servant. A servant. She got up and began to serve them.
It's amazing. She did it in gratitude. She gets up and begins to serve. What does that mean for us here at Green Meadow Community Church? It means that we should have hearts toward Christ that are continually hearts of service and ministry, just like this mother-in-law. Why? Because of the great deliverance and healing of sin, which is the ultimate disease that we have received. We have received healing. We have received salvation as Christians. Are you saying we don't already do that, James? No, I'm not saying that at all. In fact, we've got evidence that this church has reached out to others. I'm just saying, be encouraged. Keep doing it, because in that sense, every single one of us who are Christians are deacons, servants of Christ and His church. So when you do some act of kindness, or you speak an encouraging word, or you prepare a meal for somebody, like some of us have done, or you pray for someone in any other way that you serve them, let them know, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. I'm not doing this because I'm a great guy, even though you might think I am a great guy. Okay, that kind of fell flat, but... I'm not a great guy. I'm doing this because Jesus has done something for me. I'm doing this in His name, that He would be glorified. You see, Christ changed me. It was direct. It was personal. It was absolutely complete. Aren't you glad that your salvation is complete? Complete healing. Our second action point today, freely receive, freely give. Freely receive, freely give. In verses 32 through 34, Mark states that it was at evening, watch this, and the sun had set. Now we need to think about this for a moment, because if you don't pay attention, things like this can just slip right by you. As I was reading it, I thought, well, yes, evening and the sun had set. When does the sun set? At evening. What makes it evening? Well, the sun is setting. Why did Mark say it two different ways? He could have just said it was evening. There's a double emphasis here. And I looked it up and I found some commentaries. And I was like, what's the deal with this phrase here? Well, here it is. He is emphasizing something about the Sabbath. Remember, Jesus had just been in the synagogue. Now He has come to Simon's house to have lunch. Kind of like we have lunch after church sometimes. We're going to do that today. I'm pretty excited about it. And so the Sabbath had restrictions. It was law. And the Jewish people were under the law. In fact, it regulated every part of their life. So no good Jew would carry a burden on the Sabbath day. You're not going to do that. Even if it was a loved one who can't take care of themselves, and I'm going to carry them to a house of healing where Jesus is, I'm not going to do that as a good practicing Jew. However, in the evening when the sun had set, it tells me we are at the beginning of a new week. A new week. I can now bring my burden to Christ the Savior. I can now take that loved one who can't walk or they can't take care of themselves, and I can bring them to Jesus. A new day, a new week, dare I say, a new covenant. Isn't that exciting? You see, the sun has set on the way things used to be. It is a new day. It is a new day in the kingdom of God. So they brought to Him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. Now, there's a clear difference that Mark makes between those who are demon-possessed and those who are sick. Some who were demon-possessed were also sick, and he did both. Some were just physically sick. The point I want to make is this. In all cases, at all times, His healing was complete. It didn't matter. Jesus is healing each and every one. He is casting out the demons. They get the same results. with each and every healing. What was happening?
Jesus is proving that he is the Messiah. That's why these miraculous signs were happening. He was saying, I am the Savior.
I want to talk to you about hot springs and scam artists.
Hot springs and scam artists. What does that have to do with anything, James? It's not in our text.
Well, it's interesting. I'm so glad you asked.
Approximately 10 miles to the west from where they were, following the coastline of Galilee, you'll come to the town of Tiberias.
Now, I don't know if it's still called Tiberias today, but that's what it was back then.
And in Tiberias, there were hot springs. And there were also people who claimed to have the ability to heal. They had, as I call it, lotions and potions. They had all kinds of concoctions. They had incantations, things you could say, things that you could meditate upon. So they'd give you the incantation to say. They would give you the herbs and spices or whatever. And then they would tell you to go sit in the hot springs and you would be healed.
If there was any healing that truly took place, I would put it more about the hot springs than I would anything that these people were trying to pass off as medicine. And of course, they would do all of this for a fee. Of course. I mean, I can't do this for free, right?
I mean, it takes money to come up with all this stuff. So give me your money, and then you will be healed.
I'm so glad we don't have anything like that going on in the world today. We got smarter over time. Just kidding.
The carpenter's son is who I want to talk about. Let's go to his house and see what's happening there.
The power of God speaks and sicknesses are healed and demons are banished. All. Watch this. Without monetary requirement. What did it cost for the individual?
Nothing.
Bring your needs to Jesus. He will cast them out. He will heal the poorest of the poor, along with the richest of the rich. The healing from our Savior cannot be bought by you and me.
Why?
Because it has already been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There's not a thing I could do to add to that. There's nothing that can be done to add to that. His healing is complete. His precious blood is all you need. He has lavished it upon us. So what does that have to do with us here at Green Meadow?
We ought to be known as a community, as a collection of people who freely received the grace of God and now freely give. Freely give.
Our vision here is following Jesus, offering peace.
Friends, let's show this city what it means to experience the freedom of Christ.
Jesus is here in a church in Helena. He's here. And he still gives freely to all those who hear his voice.
Third action point today, get spiritual renewal and further instructions.
History shows us that the morning designation for the Jewish culture was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
That's morning, 3 to 6.
It was called the fourth watch of the night.
Well before the beginning of the new day, the light of sunrise, Jesus slips away from the house and he leaves his companion sleeping and he goes out to a deserted place, Mark says. He couldn't go near the shoreline because the fishermen would be tending their nets, getting ready for the catch of the day, getting ready to go out and do what they had to do. He couldn't go into the towns because they had daily chores that they would have to do, just like we do today. We have things that have to be done every day. And those days, they might have to actually go to a water source and get the water for the day and bring it back to the house to get things going in the morning. He needed to get away from the people. Mark tells us that he went to this deserted place away from the crowds, and it was there that he entered into this undistracted time alone with the Father.
undistracted communion with the Father. Even Jesus desired time alone with the Father. He desired time alone with the Father. It's one thing to need instruction, to need time with God like I do and like you do. It's a completely different thing to crave it, to want it, desire it, to go after that communion with God, the fellowship that we have with the Father through the Son. The Bible says in Psalm 27:4, I love this verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple. That is indeed the cry of the psalmist's heart, but it is also the cry of our Lord. You see the same thing in John 17, what we call a high priestly prayer. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he desires to have the glory that he once knew with the Father before the world was. Jesus, God in the flesh, has come and walked among men. So Simon and the others, they can't find Jesus. They go on a search, they find him, and there's this anxiety and this intensity in Simon and Andrew, and I would suspect even James and John. The phrase here literally means that they hunted down Jesus. It wasn't a casual, you know, look around. They're not here. I guess they're not here. They went out aggressively and hunted him down. And they said, everyone is looking for you. There might even have been a little bit of annoyance among them. Why would I say such a thing? Because here's how the human mind thinks. We've got a great opportunity here, Jesus. You've been healing all these people here at Capernaum. People are coming to the house. The word's getting out. The news is spreading. We've got some momentum going here. We've got some excitement going. This is a great PR campaign. Now is the time for you, the Messiah, to really capitalize on this. Let's keep it going. And that is not the Father's plan. The plan of men versus the plan of God. You see, Jesus' timing and his directions were not based upon the wisdom of men. They were not controlled by the desires of his followers. That's not the way this relationship was going to work. God had a plan and a purpose, and God was going to work that out with his Son. Jesus had received his orders. He knew what he was going to do. And he was going to continue to proclaim the gospel message. In fact, he even says here in this passage, this is the reason that I've come here. This is the reason that I've come forth, is to preach the miracles and the signs. They show who the Messiah is. They proved who he was. But the reason that he was here was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. So what does that mean for us here at Green Meadow? Believers today need to have that desire and hunger. Do you have that desire and hunger to spend time alone in his presence? And yes, we come to the Lord with our needs, but it's more than coming to him with a want list to bask in his glory, to see his smile, to behold his beauty. Do you want that kind of a relationship? What if God never did another thing for you? He saved you. That is enough. That is enough. You and I have this privilege that we, as fallen humanity, sinners, can come into his presence and actually have a relationship with God through Christ. It wasn't possible before Christ. Amazing. It's amazing when you think about it. Our works are the byproduct of proclaiming the gospel message. I'm not going to have time to get into it this morning, but read 1 Corinthians 10:31, Colossians 3:17, 1 Peter 4:11. I had to look at the slide. 1 Peter 4:11. And here it is summed up in these three verses. In everything that we do, we need to do it all as unto the Lord. All as unto the Lord. We do everything that we do according to the Father's plan. I have a desire, I have a vision, I have a dream that Green Meadow Community Church will continue on, that there will be a legacy here long after I am dead and gone. That's what I desire. What is the Father's plan for our church? Brings us to our last point, our fourth action point, verses 40 through 45. It's very simple. Obey Christ. Obey Christ. We find here that Jesus healed a leper. And as we have seen, as we get into these last verses, ask yourself this question. Am I a disciple of Christ? Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? You see, there are those in our culture today who acknowledge that Jesus is real. In fact, I know several people that I could name right now off the top of my head. They believe that Jesus was indeed a real person. They will even go so far as to admit that Jesus was God in the flesh. They might even worship him, meaning that they might come into a worship setting, sing songs to him and about him, and they might even do so very vibrantly. If you know anything about my background in Calvary Chapel, the music was I don't really know what the word is, contemporary, I think is the word we use. Today they would say modern worship. There's no hierarchy among Christians, and I don't want to be misunderstood here. We're all sinners saved by grace. Okay, I'm a pastor, but I'm a person just like you. I have a different calling, but we're all Christians. We're all on the same level playing field. My point is this: there can be those who fall down at the feet of Jesus, but they are not willing to do what he commands. They fall down at the feet of Jesus, they give him worship. They acknowledge who he is, but they are not willing to do what he commands. Are you willing to do what he commands? There is a difference, friends. Leprosy was a vile disease, and we know a lot more about it today than they did back then because of modern science and medicine. It was most likely what we would recognize today as Hansen's disease. It is a progressively disfiguring disease, and I'm not going to go into the details of what it would do to the human body, but it is gross, I can assure you. And this leprous man had probably experienced a pitiful existence. Not only did he have to go through the physical ravages of the disease, but also due to ritual uncleanliness, which you can read about in Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus 14, he was not allowed in society or in Jewish worship anymore. The leper was excluded. Think about the anguish, physical, mental, social, and religious. And leprosy in Scripture always serves as an illustration of sin. By Jesus' time, they had traditions in place. So it went even beyond what was prescribed in the book of Leviticus. Rabbinical teaching said that if a leper even stuck his head inside the house, your entire house was now unclean. It was illegal to even greet a leper. You weren't even allowed to say hello. Lepers had to remain at least 100 cubits away if they were upwind, 4 cubits if downwind. Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, he tells us that they were in all practical practice, they were dead men. They were walking dead men. But this one leper comes kneeling down to Jesus. Matthew 8 tells us that he worshiped Jesus.
And I believe this is the true attitude of the man. I believe he was bowing down or kneeling before Jesus, and he proclaims a faith in the ability of Jesus to heal him, and he seems to leave it up to Jesus. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing. He leaves the choice up to Jesus. So there is an appearance here of true humility. In the Bible, there are three other cases other than this one. There are three other cases of leprosy being healed. One is Moses in Exodus 4:6. One is in Numbers. It's Miriam in Numbers 12:10. And then the third one is this Gentile Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. And that's an amazing story all in and of itself. Jesus touched the untouchable. He healed the unhealable. He cleaned the unclean. It says that as soon as he had spoken the words, here it is again, immediately the leprosy left the man and the leper was cleansed. There was a physical cleansing. The skin returned, just like it says about Naaman. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child and was clean. But not after go take seven dips in the river. No, just one touch of the master's hand, just one word, and the leprosy is gone. Spiritual cleansing. Throughout the Bible, as I've said, leprosy is symbolic of sin. There, that whole idea of that ritual where he tells them, go show yourself to the priest and do the offering that Moses commanded, all of that is symbolic of a spiritual cleansing. It was a time of spiritual cleansing. It allowed that one who was healed of leprosy to now come back in to the house of worship and worship the one true and living God and have all the benefits that we enjoy as a worship community. There was a mental and a social cleansing. I want you to try to think about this if you can. Imagine. How long had this one been cast out of society? We don't know. It's not recorded here. How long? Maybe it was weeks, months, maybe even years. However long it may have been, any interaction with society had to be preceded. I want you to think about this. According to the law, they had to call out, unclean, unclean. They had to announce their uncleanliness so that you might not come near me and get infected yourself. And you can find that in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. No family, no friends other than another leper like yourself. No more hugs and kisses from your wife or your children. No more conversations around the dinner table. None of that. No work, no money. No government program, nothing to help you. Indeed, they were walking dead men. But when Jesus healed him, Mark tells us that Jesus strictly warned him. Jesus strictly warned him. The phrase there, I almost can imagine Jesus almost kind of gritting his teeth saying, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. It means to be moved with anger, sternly warn, rebuke harshly. He strictly warned him. Jesus knew it was not time for the proclamation of himself in this fashion. Not yet. Jesus cast him out, and the instructions were very simple. They're found in verse 44. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer your cleansing, those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. The man did not walk in obedience. He was healed. He was clean. He was made whole by Jesus, but he did not obey the simple command. In fact, it says, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came from every direction. You see, the man was a worshiper, but he was not an obedient disciple. God is not like us, and I don't want to be misunderstood here. He's not subjected to our whims, and you know, his actions don't depend upon what I do. I don't want to be misunderstood. But I want you to take a look at this. When Jesus commands a leper to keep quiet, he means keep quiet. He's not messing around. When I read this as a child, I knew this story. And I thought, well, of course, how could he not, you know, how could he be silent? He would have to go tell everybody that he had been healed. I didn't understand as a child. No. Jesus said, shh. God in the flesh is giving a command, be quiet, don't tell anybody. Jesus had his reasons. And it appears, again, don't take this too far, but at least to our way of thinking, that Jesus had to alter his plans. Now, watch this. Jesus is the one outside the city. Who is in the town? The leper. Who is welcomed back into society? The leper who has now been clean. Where's Jesus? He's outside. He can no longer enter the towns because of his fame going throughout the land. The Savior is kept outside. I'm reminded of Saul and Samuel. I was reminded of Saul and Samuel when I was preparing for this. 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, worship, okay, that's what worship is, burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What do you think the answer is? He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. To heed what? To heed the word of the Lord. It's better than sacrifice. What does this mean for us here at Green Meadow? I think we should be known for our worship, our love, our fellowship, our prayer time, the peace that we have here, healing, all of those things, all the rest. I want us to be known for that. I hope that is your desire too. But my hope and prayer is that we will be known as a group of people who are obedient disciples of Christ. I would love to hear someone say, I don't know what's going on over there, but I know one thing. They obey God in that church. Wouldn't that be great to be our testimony? If we obey Him, I am convinced, church, I'm absolutely convinced that if we do what God has commanded us to do, we're going to see growth in our numbers. And I want to see growth in our numbers. And I know that's your desire too. But more than growth in number, I believe that if we do what He commands, that there will be a spiritual maturity like we've never experienced before in our own lives. A spiritual maturity. That's why I go through the Bible verse by verse, because this is where we feed. This is what we eat. This is what gives us nourishment, the very word of God. That brings maturity. That brings growth. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we will take these four action points to heart. Since we have experienced your healing and your forgiveness, give us hearts of service and compassion. Lord, I pray that you would help us to freely give what you have given to us. Cause us, dear Lord, to make time for you each and every day. Time for spiritual renewal, time for prayer, time for fasting, time for reading the instructions from your word as it is written, and that we have it for all time, the written word of God. And as I proclaim it from this pulpit, Lord, may we grow. And Jesus, give us the strength to obey you, because it is not always easy to obey you. It is not easy to be mocked. But Lord, you endured that. Surely we could endure that for the sake of the cross, for the sake of your gospel. Lord, give us the strength. Let us act as if Jesus is King right now. And we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray these things. Amen.